climb, in conditions which were marginal at best and which never allowed clean decision-making for anyone on the mountain. Arlene's introspective and expansive account of their ascent offers not just a tale of adventure, but also a reflection on leadership, responsibility, self-awareness, and personal strength. Armchair and advanced climbers alike will find much to admire in this classic, a book that inspires as much as it educates. Steph Davis. Steph Davis is one of the world's leading female climbers and the first woman to summit all the peaks of the Fitzroy Range in Patagonia. She is the author of High Infatuation, A Climber's Guide to Love and Gravity, and Learning to Fly, an uncommon memoir of human flight, unexpected love, and one amazing dog. Preface to the 20th Anniversary Edition. In 1978, our team of 13 women went to Nepal to climb Annapurna 1, a difficult and dangerous Himalayan giant. When the idea for the climb arose, all of the world's 8,000-meter-high peaks had been climbed by men, none by a woman. Many people, men and women alike, believed that a team of women lacked the strength, skill, and courage necessary to make such a climb. In spite of storms, avalanches, and a Sherpa strike, we succeeded in reaching the icy summit. This marked the first ascent of the world's 10th highest mountain by an American and by a woman. Originally, I wrote this book to better understand and share the story of how and why we climbed Annapurna and the challenges I faced as team leader. 20 years later, we are offering the account to a new generation, many of whom were not born when we made our climb. Is the fact that a team of women climbed a high Himalayan mountain in 1978 of interest or importance in the world of the 21st century? Recently, the Dartmouth College women's rowing crew invited me to their boathouse to see their craft. Looking at the long, sleek shells stacked on racks, I noticed that most of the boats had the name of a man written on their side, presumably a man who contributed his time or money to support the crew. A smiling young woman pointed to the women's forest green boat and the name on its side. I read the modest white letters with wonder. Annapurna. "We named our boat after your climbing team," she said. "Your book explained why we row, the hard work and the satisfaction of pulling together. Every time we see the name Annapurna on our boat, we are reminded of what your team did and the extraordinary things we can do when we push ourselves and each other to and beyond our limits." At a panel discussion, I met Ellen Ochoa, the first Hispanic woman astronaut and the head scientist on her second spaceflight. "I heard you speak about your plans to climb Annapurna and your scientific career when I was a student," she told me. "It made me think very hard about setting high goals for myself and going for them. Though no one in my family had ever gone into science, your talk inspired me to major in physics, and here I am." Over the years, I have been told many times that our climb made a difference by dispelling myths about people's limitations that were prevalent when we climbed Annapurna. At that time, women rarely ran marathons, raced dog sleds, or scaled rock faces. On the rare occasions when I crossed paths with other women runners, we stopped to exchange addresses. Now, the marathon is an Olympic event for women. In 5 out of the last 15 years, women have won the Iditarod, the world's longest and toughest dog sled race. In 1993, Lynn Hill made the first free climb of the long, overhanding nose route on Yosemite's El Capitan in 4 days. The next year, she did it again, in just 23 hours. No one else has managed to repeat the ascent since. Once a simple climb was pejoratively called an easy day for a lady. That designation has been eclipsed by the statement, "Someday a guy's going to free climb El Cap." Annapurna has become for me a metaphor for difficult and important goals. Striving to achieve such objectives draws on all of our abilities and brings out the best in us. There are